good morning to you guys. Good morning. Can you hear me now? Yeah. It's good to see you all here today. It's a beautiful, beautiful morning up there. It's, I think, like I said, this is a really appreciated weather. I'm not too fan of cloudy days. I like the sunny days, and it's like it lifts me up. And cloudy days brings me down a little bit. Don't know why. But I'm very thankful to be here today, and thank you, brother, for the opening. That was the shortest opening ever. It's so good. We were talking about it's a ministry. As you stand up here, you don't know how everything is gonna go. And we were just having a conversation that we should have like 2-3 versions. You know, the shortest version, the narrow version, and maybe the longest one. So, but you never know how it's gonna go. If it's gonna be a short one or it's gonna be a long one. It's all in God's hands, and that's the thing that amazed me. Every time we stand up here, you just put your trust in the Lord, see how everything is going to go. He will provide. He will provide. He will show you, give you the understanding. Even sometimes maybe, especially me, not making any sense of where he's going. Where am I going? I've been listening on the book of Exodus. You know how when God was walking with the Israelites in the desert, when the forest built the tabernacle. You know, none of those, other than they knew how to make bricks for the Egyptians. They know how to make them pretty good, because the buildings are still standing even now. But besides that, when God was walking with them, and when God told Moses, keep him the measurements of the temple, the tabernacle, which was a tent. It's amazing how is the God showed them the measurements and how to make it, you know, what to use. And so it's amazed me that, you know, the people somehow they had all these materials with them. That when they start to donate it to Moses, you know, at the end, they have so much materials that they complain to Moses, to let him know to tell the people to stop bringing stuff. We don't need any more. We have enough. That's amazing. The willing, the heart that they have for to do something like that for God, and I think that that's something that we need to learn from that. There's a lot that we should learn. You know, we have to. We're still learning of God, of what God wants us to do, and so But what I was going to say is that when it came to build the tabernacle, the people didn't know what to do or how to carve, how to make bases, metal, gold, silver, gold, and all that stuff. And so amazed me when God told Moses that he will pour out his spirit to this man. I forgot his name. And God filled him out with the spirit of acknowledge of how to make all those things. And so he gave the spirit of acknowledge to those who make the curtains, to those women who make the clothes for the priests, and that. So God always, He's gonna show even unto us these days, because He's still a God of miracles. He's still a God of miracles, which is. A lot of people don't believe that, and these days, and they're like, "Well, he's not about miracles, and so much that the power has been given to man, so his duty is done. He's done. He's over." But that's not how it is. God is still providing miracles even now for each of us, and so my trust is in the Lord. My trust is in the Lord, that He will help me. He will show me the things that I, and not just me. And like I said, it's just to each of us, to all of us. I pray that God will give you the understanding of my point that I want to make, or of the message that He has put in my heart. So that is my trust in Him. So. This service might go longer, might go shorter. All we have to do is, hope and pray that what I'm about to show you is, it might be a good message for you this day. We all always have something going on in our lives. In my work, as many of you have had experience that are like unpleasant, other ones have had experience that are pleasant. And so it's like a war. We have a war that we are fighting every day, every day. And so how can you deal with that? How can you deal with that? And so what the whole matters is that you're not fighting with that person. You're not fighting with that person. You're not arguing with that person. You're arguing with the accuser. With the accuser, because that's another thing, that this accuser, he accuses you every day. Every day. He accused you to the Lord every day. I mean, remember Job. Job, that's his name. He had everything. He didn't need anything. Everything was good. He was happy. He was rich. He had everything he needed. So what is the accuser there? Told God, why didn't you... In Mexico, we say, why don't you tie the belt on him a little bit and see if he complains? Why don't you do this and that to him, and you will see that he will curse you. And so God, yes, my dad too. God gave him the open green light. Okay, go ahead and do this and that, but, just to some point. And so... Job, the first words he said, God gives and God takes. naked we come to this world, and naked we'll be living again. And that is true. But afterwards, you know, if you read the book, he was just complaining heavy. What did I deserve this? What did I did? I don't think I never do anything. I was so righteousness. And so, but the whole point is that we're supposed to glorify God no matter what. Through, it's just like when you get married. You know, you make a promise to love through sicknesses, through poverty, through it's just so much to go through marriage. Marriage is not peaches and cream. You have problems, you have troubles. And as couple, you know, you make it work out. You work it out. And so it's true what God says, you know, the man should not be alone. He needs a companion. This morning I was sitting at my table looking at my computer with my mouth dry and my lips so dry. My wife wakes up and she's like, "You're not going to eat anything." I'm like, "No, I'm trying to study here." And so she prepared me breakfast. Out of nowhere, I'm like, "Oh, you love me." She made me so happy. She cares about me. Those are the things that, as a man, you know, you're going to do, because we can be stubborn. You're going to do what you have to do, and you're going to dismiss other things that may affect you in the future. And so thanks to my wife, I'm standing here with my stomach nice and full, which is, she's always worried about me about that, because I can go maybe hours and hours without eating. But that's another blessing that we have to acknowledge, that God always cares for his children. And so for that, and because that, I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful. And it's good to see all of you here. We just went through reunion, and it was something that, you know, we get to see other church members from outside, and which is, that's amazing to, you know, that people try to be, to have fellowship with the flock. And so when you have fellowship, it's good for each other, it's good for them, it's good for us. A lot of times, you know, by sharing our afflictions with others and talking about it, it makes them lighter. You know, you don't feel so heavy, and it's good to have a talk here and there with church members, with friends, people that you trust. Oh, there's many people up there. They you think they're your friends, but really they're really not. And so, how do you know that they're your friends? You know, it's just. You just can. It takes a while. It takes a long time to know and to realize that they are your friends. And so, I'm gonna read here. Where am I? And Timothy, 2 Timothy, and that was my last thought as I was standing here, because I'm still thinking about what to say, what to talk about. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, I start with verse 1. It says, "This know also that in the last days, periods, times shall come." "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, and blasphemous and disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. I just went through an experience in my work, and then when I thought about it, like I said, we're in a war, and we will be always fighting to become righteous, to do the right thing. When others will be going to the opposite way, and there will always be whatever conversation you're having with them, they're not gonna agree with you. They're gonna be contrary. Your word, they're not gonna agree to what you say. So in other words, they're just looking to have a, it's like they have the spirit of they don't believe. So they're just looking to have not a really good conversation, but just like picking up a fight or something. Like, let's see if you know. Let's see if you are who you are, who you say you are. So that made me think about this picture that you see in the to protect your flock, because the responsibility of a pastor or a preacher or ministry is to protect the flock, and because that experience that I had a week ago, it made me think about it. I mean, why is this person acts like this? You know, why is he express himself the way he did? And you know, instead of, it's almost like he ruined my whole day. And even through the night, I was just keep thinking about what is his problem, you know? And so it made me think about, you know, that we have a great responsibility with our church and the church members. So my wife got me a little notebook, and put it right next to my bed, and she's like, when you think of something, just write it down. And so that's what I do, and a lot of times it really helps me, because we all know that, you know, that the Spirit talks to you. And so that's why I said, when we are here, my trust is in the Lord, because He has put those thoughts in my heart, and He can do it to any of you. You see this flock right here, this group of sheep. They are hanging out together, and so I was thinking about that, and I started looking at studying, reading on the computer and stuff, you know, and these animals are pretty interesting. They're very interesting animals, and so I thought about the scripture in Psalms, where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want. He made me to lay down in green pastures, and He led me beside the still waters." A very comfort verse that we read here from the Lord, that we had to learn how to trust in Him. And know that He will guide you through hard times, sour times, and good times, but we're supposed to glorify Him and give Him thanks for all those beautiful gifts, beautiful days that we live, beautiful temperatures, and especially thankful for His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so this is going through, at the end, you know, the understanding is the the Christ is to be the, you know, with the nickname, the Lamb of God, because, well, the Lamb is, you know, they used to use them to sacrifice. And so when it comes to the ultimate sacrifice, you know, it's used a Lamb, the Lamb of God. That is something a lot of people don't understand, what does this mean. But the things that I learned from these beautiful animals are, I don't know if I mentioned it before, but I used to have one of those, a boy sheep, a ram, and he was all black, with the horns going backwards. And that was my favorite. That was a pet for me. It was a pet. I used to play with that guy, and he would just chase me and just run into me. But I was pretty quick to grab him by the horns, and so we would just wrestle. But one day I came back from home, and he was gone. My dad had sold it, and so that was a sad day. But they're awesome animals. They stay together. He used to hang out with my cows, and he would walk with the cows all day long. He would not separate. And so, one of the things that I learned from these beautiful animals is their eyes. They're like, pupils, they're not shaped round. They're shaped like wide, like flat almost, or rectangular. And they can see almost all the way around, like those new cars today. When you back up those new cars, you see the cameras like all the way around. I don't know how that works, satellite or, but that's pretty cool. And so that's something that that these guys can see, and they said that they have that ability for protection, you know, to see, to be aware of those predators. They also, how do they stay together? How do they follow together? I find out they have what is it, glands, like sense glands, in front of their eyes and in between the hooves. So that's how they follow each other. They know where they are, and they know who they're, you know, they're ones that are part of the flock. They know where they are, and so that's how they follow each other. That's pretty amazing. They're like 1,000 kinds of sheep. They're like 1,000 kinds of sheep. Then the one right there in the middle, that's the one that kind of they call him the churro horn. That's one of the, I don't even know where can you find that. I guess in different plants, parts of the world, they are different, but they're like 1,000 kinds of sheep. They have a social big memory that they can recognize up to 50 others, including their recognized humans. So that's a pretty amazing too. They're really well taking care of themselves, almost like they don't need a doctor because they so, they're so smart that they know what plants to eat when they feel sick or when they have disease. They know what plants to eat. So that's another thing. And then as they're growing old, they are able to teach to the youngest one how to take care of themselves too when it comes when they're sick. And they are capable also to express emotions just like a human. I mean, they can show sadness when they feel alone. They can even, they don't cry. I didn't see that, but they even hug each other when they're showing emotions. They're very social, that's for sure. They're very social animals. And that's why we call it like a flock, because they're very social. And another thing that amazed me, I'm like, what? I never knew that. They don't have teeth in the upper top. They don't have teeth, only in the bottom have teeth. So the upper top is like very strong, that when they press against whatever they're eating with the teeth, with the bottom teeth, that's how they chew. And so that's pretty amazing. the things that you know about this sheep, but they take care of each other. They take care of each other. And so it's almost like the plan, you know, it's amazing how God is trying to, he's always trying to teach us in a way that we may understand, but we are so head harder, you have to just make your brain or get your brain going. Studying the books, and maybe you will have understanding, but you know that the when Christ was here and trying to teach everyone how to be partake of the plan, you know, to teach them what is it you need to have the eternal life, to be with me in my kingdom. He showed them everything in a way that they took it the wrong way, and so much that they got mad at him, that they killed him because he told him the truth. We live unrighteousness, and this is what you need to do. But they will just have they didn't recognize him as Son of God because they only believe in the rules of Moses, only Moses, because Moses saw God, and so their trust is in Moses, and so they were stubborn, just like everybody else these days. But this is a responsibility here that we have. These days that Christ has given us those talents. I'm not here, but you are. We need you. Well, I need you. I need you. That's why he's, you know, remember the scripture in Isaiah, who did I send? And humbly Isaiah answered, send me. And we just need to be more humble ourselves, that we may be able to fulfill his work. That is not over. It's not over yet, and it won't be over. It's coming to an end, that's for sure. The signs are all over around us. For this his second coming, so our time is coming shorter and shorter and shorter. But he will show us the way. He will. The Lord guides your feet. In Psalms 139:16 says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and know me, and thou knowest my down things and my upright things. Thou understand my thoughts afar off, and thou compass my path and my laying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such acknowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, and I cannot stand into it. If we listen, if we are willing to listen, you know, he knows your needs, and he will keep you. He will give us the understanding. He will show us the way. My picture that I have here is one of the many trails that we do. When we go mountain biking, me and my brother Jacobson, we enjoy it because we run into these junctions that if there is not a sign. Which is a lot of trails are well marked, but some of them they're not. You just have to trust your knowledge and where you are, and just follow the path, and stay on the path. Don't go off the path, or you run into trouble. The God knows our needs. Yesterday or the day before, you know, I was over there in the trail, and almost amazed me, you know, if we listen, we get to enjoy His beauty, enjoy His creation, and which is His days, and people worship the creation instead of the Creator. And that's something that why would you do that? You know, He warned us. The Book of Kings, you know, that's where He's discouraged up His people. You know, I did this and that for you, and I walked with you, and I got you out of the Egypt with strong hand and with my wonders, and you still don't believe in me, and you're still building up altars to other gods, knowing that I'm a jealous God. He was about to destroy everybody. He gets angry. It's just like you and I. He gets angry. Oh, you know, the brother of Jerry got to see him as a man. He was scared. He was, what did he say? I didn't know that God was like me, like a man. Fingers, feet, skin, bones. He is your friend. You can talk to Him as a friend, because we are His children. You can talk to Him anytime. And so I was by myself. It was nice and quiet, and all the same, I ran into this creature, which is, I want to just show it to you guys, that God provides for everyone. And this was 2 days ago. I saw this creature in the trail, and I stopped so quickly, because first of all, I thought it was a rock in the middle of the road. I'm like, I'm going to remove it because, you know, for the next one that's behind me or something. It was a turtle. It was a desert turtle. And she was just being his, I don't know if it's a he or she, but just doing his own thing. And all of a sudden, yeah, you know, he started moving, and then he started walking and eating that nice, fresh-looking earth that the desert is, you know, with this rain that we had, all this fresh grass or daisies, you know, popping up, and she was just sit there and chewing on the. And I was amazed, because this is my first time that I see something like this, in the middle of nowhere, which is full of rocks. And can't even tell that amazing creature was there, and it was huge. It was huge. So I was like, "Thank you, Lord, for putting this guy in my way, and get to know that you know, even for these beautiful animals you provide, He will provide for you, because we are His children. We are in His hands. He is our Father." And so He treats us like a flock. To Him, He is our shepherd. He is our shepherd. And that's amazing thing that we should not forget. That even if we go astray for whatever reason, and it can happen really easy when you just run off. And the more that you run off, it might kind of come to be a normal thing and forget about the flock. We need you here, because we support each other. We support each other. There might be a lot of discouragement up there, or misunderstanding. Things that might make you say things like, I'm just not going to come in anymore, or things like that. Just think about it a little bit. Whoever is working in your heart is not of the Lord. It's from the enemy. And so we have to be strong when those things come to your heart. And so we have to learn how to trust in the Lord when those moments come. Pray that the Lord will show the thing, will show you the things you should do, and not to listen to those spirits of discouragement, contentions. They're always working and trying to separate you from the flock. John 10:27-29 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which is given them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. We all under his protection, no matter where you are, no matter what country you are. If we keep his commandments, we keep his sayings, we will always have that trust in him. We have the responsibility to go different places, and that's okay, because that's just life, you know. That's just life. You know, you're gonna grow up and go. You're gonna go and grow up, and you still don't forget who you are. Don't forget that you who you belong to. And so, no matter where you are, always keep it in mind and keep God close to your heart. Because your Father knows you. And so, don't forget right here it says, it's greater. My Father, which give them to me, is greater than all. We belong to something higher. We are part of this office that God has put us here so that we may not get lost. And be aware of these days. And if you always have the willing to pick up these holy scriptures, you will know, and you'll be prepared for these days. 1 Timothy 4:1-2. And now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to the seductive spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with hot iron. We see that happening all around us. You know, those warnings, they're coming from way, way, way back. And so, but the trust that we have in the Lord is much, much bigger. And what is, you know, that by going through this, you know your reward. And our reward is greater than what you can leave behind. And so that is not easy to trust, but we just have to believe and trust in the promises that our reward is greater than this. And perhaps when he said, you know, if you love more this than me, you're not a true follower. I mean, it's very hard to accept that. And Jacob 2:36, "Wherefore, my brethren, hear me and hearken to the word of the Lord, for there shall not any man among you has saved be one wife and concubines. He shall have none, for I, the Lord God, delete and chastise of the woman." And that is why the Lord says that that give us the warning of those things that really he's not happy about it. And so these days, you know, a lot of people, a lot of churches, a lot of, they practice these things. That is something that makes God angry. And but if you have time enough to understand that that's not how it is, you can always, always repent. And so when that comes, you know, you read this in the Book of Mormon, but in the Bible, he's like, don't be part of those doctrines. Don't be part of the doctrines. He says, I know your works to the seven churches. I know your works. But you still have things to fix. You still have issues. You still have mistakes that you need to fix. And one of those doctrines is it has to do with the Nicolaites. He says that he hates the doctrines of the Nicolaites, and I'm like, what is the Nicolaites? Well, the Nicolaites is, you know, it goes to the, in the book of Acts, there were 5 or 7 Jews to guide the people in those days. And one of them was, his name was Nicolai. And so the story goes that when he had a dream, a vision, there's no proof for that, but he had this vision, who had received a revelation from God, that he should be able to practice a free love. And so, I don't know if that makes sense. That's why when Christ says, you know, I hate the doctrines of the Nicolaites, because free love is worse than having, well, practicing having too many wives, concubines, or whatever, polygamy, is worse. So free love is something that we should not even, you know, think about, because that's one of the things that Christ is not, you know, teaching us to say or to do. That's why he hates these doctrines. We have mistakes that still have to work on it. And so these warnings comes from way, way back. And 2 John 1:10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him and Godspeed. Paul, you know, always telling us all these concerns and remind us of which doctrines to stay away from. In 2 John 1:4-8, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as thought I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but which we have from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. And this is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk on it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. And this is a deceiver, and this is an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have brought, but that we receive it a full reward. All these things Paul says because we will have to deal with all these crazy ideas that people come with, and that's just to gain, not for a good deed. It's just to gain. And so, as a flock, we have to protect each other. If these flocks don't know how to protect each other, how to follow each other, they have their own instincts, their own way to do it, we should do the same thing, because we are a flock to God. And our shepherd is Jesus Christ. And so if we believe his promises, his sayings, even from the beginning, he was been trying to warn us of the things that we should stay away, because there's a lot of stuff coming, and it's just not just something that we can ignore, but it's something that it will stay in our hearts if we open the door to sin. And it will be hard for us when we want to get rid of it. It won't be easy. In Colossians 2:16-23, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of holiday or of the new moon or on the Sabbath days, which is our shadow of things to come. But the body of Christ, let no man beguile you of your reward and a voluntary humility in worshiping of angels, introducing to those things which he had not seen, vainly popped up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which the body of joint and bands having nourishment, ministry, and knit together, if ye be dead in Christ from the rudiments of the world, why stop living in the world? Are ye subjected to the ordinance? Touch not, taste not, and handle not, which all are perished with the using of the these commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not at any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. But it sounds like this, all these things, is like, my wife was asking me, what is this? I'm like, it's just like, you know, the things that we have heard in the past. If you read the Old Testament, it's just full of rules. But really, what we need to focus more is on what Christ has fulfilled with his coming, with his suffering. You know, he said the law of Moses, there's going to be a greater law that is going to be engraved in your hearts. And that law is the law of Christ. Not so much the law of the Old Testament. Christ has fulfilled all those things. Make it more simple. I mean, in those days, if you don't follow the law, you mess up a little bit, you put to death. You don't follow the law of Moses, of Christ these days, we are dead already in sin. I don't know if that means that, you know, when it says, you know, let the dead bury their own dead. I mean, he's talking about us being dead in sin. But keep Christ the first. So false doctrines, this world is full of it. And so we have to be careful of those things and not to trust on those things, and especially when somebody comes and trying to convince you of those doctrines, which is of men. Don't trust in the arm of flesh. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receive not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Is it not true? Neither can be know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And that's the problem that I have with sometimes with people that like just trying to prove me. And when those days come, or when that time comes, I pray for God to give me the right words. I was able to witness Christ to one of my coworkers, and he heard every single word I said. But with this other guy, it was the opposite. It was a fight. And I know that was not him. speaking to me, but I was fighting with something else. And so we had to be aware of those things. That our fight is not with flesh, it's with spiritual. And Mosiah explains a little bit better. For the natural man is an enemy to God, and it has been from the fall of Adam, and it will be forever and ever. But if he yielded to the antecedents of the Holy Spirit and put it off, the natural man becomes sane through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and become as a child and submissive, meek and humble, patient and full of love, and willing to submit to all things which the Lord see it fit to inflict upon him, even as a child do submit to his father. What, you know, the words of Christ, you know, what did he tell Nicodemus? You need to be born again and become as a child. Something that a natural man will not understand. This cannot happen. That would be awesome if I go from me old to be young again. That would be nice. But that's, you know, that's not what Christ was saying. In Jeremiah 17:5, it says, "Thou says the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man, and make flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord." And there's going to be a lot of doctrine up there that they're going to try to introduce to you, which are not doctrines of God, but doctrines of men. Be aware, brothers and sisters, of those things, because we are, these days, we deal with a lot of counterfeit and real stuff. I was thinking about the words that Brother Adam used when he preaches and give us this study of a counterfeit. And Psalms 146:3-4, it says, "Put not your trust in princes, not in the sons of men, in whom there is no help. His bread go forth, and he return it to his heart, and that very day his thoughts perish." All that stuff is not going to help. Don't trust on those things. Nothing will take with us. So why we should focus on trusting of the things of this world? What is? There's a song that we have in the Red Book that says, "Stand up. Stand up for Jesus." That's all we have to do. Stand up for Jesus. Stand in his strength alone, the arm, and the flesh. Not because it will fail you. You dare not trust on your own either. Stand up for Jesus. There's a cartoon. I know you guys are familiar with this cartoon. Cloudy with the Chance of Meatballs. If you guys remember this cartoon, this guy, the science, make this machine. They, from water or oxygen or whatever, it makes food. But it's a real food. It's not real food. Before that thing went to the sky, destroyed a whole town, and he thought, well, that's it. This thing is done. Well, he lost it. It went up to the sky. And so all the saints, if you remember, it started raining cheeseburgers. And that's when he knew that machine really was working. It was converting water into food. Which is, that's amazing. That's a good cartoon. But these days, you don't know what you're eating when you order a steak in the restaurant. You don't know if it's real. It tastes real. It tastes good. It's just like the movie Matrix. It smells good, but I mean, there's no flavor. I don't know. I mean, this, just think about it. When you're eating a Taco Bell, do you know what meat you're eating? You know. Oh, Mickey, this McDonald's. We don't know. We don't know for sure if it's real or it's not real. But that's the things that we are dealing with these days. See, when you go to a restaurant, you just order your steak and you start eating it. It tastes good. It's salty. It's, black pepper, salt. So that could be the trick. But really, this steak is not real. It's synthetic. And so we have this company that came out from Israel that is doing 3D printed meat. And so they there's three-dimensionally printed meat is made from cultured meat, which means it's lab growing, cell based or cultivate, while it's created from the fat and muscles cells of the animal. The process does not require a sliding lab stack. That's the one thing they're doing right, I guess. No need to kill no more livestock. They're creating these things from real cells, mother cells or whatever. And so that's how the steak is made. And so the stem cells, that's what they call it, the mother cell, the body, it's raw materials. Cells from which all other cells with specialized functions are generated under the right conditions in the body or a laboratory. Stem cells divide to form more cells called daughter cells, which is the daughter cells, they can become health for a good thing these days for people who have had heart attacks or cancer. They kind of help to heal where scars are or something like that. So other than that, these daughter cells become either new stem cells or specialized cells with more specific functions such as blood cells, brain cells, heart muscle cells, or bone cells. No other cell in the body has the natural ability to generate new cells except the stem cells. But they're making these mistakes. And I guess it's a good thing, but it's not real because now ladies that like to can food, they are complaining that the meat they can, it goes bad after some time because it's not real meat. So it goes bad after some time instead of lasting the many years it's supposed to. That's just an example of how fake things can be up there and fail. We are dealing these days, including those doctrines that they make them sound really good and so it's just a bunch of lies. And that's how you separate for many things, including the flock. Know your flock and protect them from the false doctrines. In Titans 1:12-16, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, say, the Christians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to the Jewish fables and commandments. Amen. They turned from the true into the pure. All things are pure, but into them they are defiled and unbelieving. Is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. These prophets that they know God, that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and into every good work reprobate. This is a warning, Paul is giving us here. And this is what we're dealing with. these days. In Titus 1:2, I hope of the eternal life, which is God. They cannot lie. God cannot lie. You hear that? I hope of, and hope of eternal life, which God, they cannot lie. Promise before the world began. Our God is our, that's where our faith, hope is, not anyone else. And so that's why a lot of times we have to know or get to know who our sheep are, who our church goings are. You know, I was reading this morning online, you know, how to be a good pastor, right? And it's just, it's not easy, it's hard. But I think the one simple call to those who you have not seen here, it will make a big difference. And it will make a big difference, and just to let them know that we miss them and we love them and we hope to see you soon back. I guess that's pretty easy. I mean, life, how it is these days, and it can be maybe just an excuse, but how to protect the messages, to have just a little bit of conversation. And just to let them know that, you know, we are here and support each other. And not to put in the side what our beliefs and what we have heard all of our lives being here. That opportunity, we should not let it go, no matter what. Our hope and faith is in Christ Jesus and in God his Father, who promises from the beginning to be who he said he will, and not to go astray following other crazy doctrines that are up there all over. So my comments is they consider ourselves as a flock, and treat ourselves, each other, with the love that even these amazing animals treat themselves, and knowing that Christ is the great shepherd. Those are my comments for this morning. I hope I made a point, and I pray that some of these words will you keep in your mind and thoughts, and hopefully it comes handy when it's needed. Thank you.